Well, good morning. It is so good to see you all. And I've just had such a great time connecting this morning. I forgot to come up. But I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning and went, oh, thank goodness I made it. Today's Sunday, the best day of the week. Anybody else feel like that? It's been kind of a wild week. And God is just so faithful. And I have been gone a couple weeks traveling. And I just have to say, I've been so thankful for our online community and how amazing it is that we can do worship together and share prayer requests together. So I'm so thankful for that. But to quote Dorothy, there is no place like home, and there is no place like our New Life family. And again, I'm just so glad that you're here. And if this is your first time today, welcome. And again, we just welcome you here. And we have a connection crew that would love to meet you after service. We have connection counters inside here and out on the patio. We have a gift for you. But more than that, we would just love to share our hearts with you and that you know that you are so loved by Jesus. And there's a couple things coming up that are other ways of connecting. We have pizza with Pastor next Sunday after this service. It's in the lobby, and it is just a great way to know who we are as a New Life family. So please plan on attending that. And if you're a senior, we have our brunch and Bibles, which is on this coming up Tuesday, 10 a.m. in the Life Center. And it is just what it sounds like. It is brunch. We eat a delicious meal together. We do worship together and just have a time of sharing where God is moving. So you can sign up online for that, come out to Connections, or just come next Tuesday. And another thing that's really exciting for me is this is the first Sunday of the month, which means our amazing baking crew has provided the treats for today, and which is always so exciting to see what they come up with. But we challenged them a little bit this month and said, make your favorite summer treat. And I will tell you, I've seen lemon things out there. I've seen fruit out there. It is just so amazing. So please go out and get a treat after service. But would you just take a moment to stand up, meet somebody, and ask them what their favorite summer treat is?
Our testimony is living proof. If you doubt the evidence, He is able. Open your eyes, people, get ready. Just build an altar, drench it in water, stand back and wander. He'll start. It's the time, people, get ready. Just build an altar, drench it in water, stand back and wander. He'll start a fire, nothing can stop Him. There's no one like Him. He holds says he can work with a handful of faith. It doesn't matter the giants you face, they're gonna fall down, gonna fall down. If you're running from Pharaoh, he saves. Put your staff in the water in faith. Shout it out over Jericho and wait. He's gonna fall down, gonna fall down. If the odds are against you, he saves. He can work with a handful of faith. It doesn't matter the giants you face, they're gonna fall down, 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 gonna fall down. People get ready, just build an altar, drench it in water, stand back and wonder, he'll start a fire, nothing can stop him, there's no one like him, he holds all power, this is our God, just build an altar, drench it.
That you will have it all, that you will shake up the ground, that you will break down our walls so that we can make space for you, for what you're doing in our lives, for what you're doing in this community, God. We just pray that this morning we will surrender everything that we came with in this morning, God, so that we can be filled with your Spirit, so that we can be filled with the love of God. So this morning, we just, as we continue to worship, we just pray that our praise is a blessing for you and you only, that we will worship you rightly in spirit and in truth. God, give us pure hearts to worship you. We want to bless your name. We want to remember all the things that you've done, all the things you're doing, and all the things you will continue to do, because you are a good God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming this morning. Holy Spirit, just captivate our hearts as we continue to worship.
Always with me. Bless God, for He's always worthy. Every chance I get, I our praise. Yes, he's worthy of all our praise.
I am who you say I am. give God some praise this morning. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that I love about God is that he is so multifaceted. That God is protector and he is provider and he is one that I can run to when I am afraid. And he is one that is going to come near to me. The word says that he is like a strong tower, a mighty right hand. He is holy. He is good. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. But one of my favorite aspects of God is that he wants you to know him and to be known by him. He wants you not just to know him as kind of this beginning point or a source or a cosmic being, but he wants you to crawl up in his lap and to know him intimately and to be known by him as a child of his, as a son, as a daughter. And there's a passage in the Psalm, in the book of Psalms, that is just so beautifully articulates this. And so this morning, whether you're somebody who has been following Jesus for a really long time and for whatever reason you just feel distant from God, or somehow maybe he doesn't see you right now, or maybe you're somebody who's walking into this sanctuary for the very first time or the very first time in a long time, and you're just wondering, does God even see me at all? Hear the words of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass. That is the God who knows his children. Would you pray with me this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, I don't know where each person is this morning. I don't know what they're carrying. I don't know what they're walking in with. I don't know what they're wrestling through. I don't know the valley that they find themselves in. I don't know the celebration that they came to worship and give you praise for. I don't know the celebration and worship they came because they're going through a difficult circumstance and yet you are still with them. But I know this. I know that we can crawl up in your lap and we can press our ear towards your chest. And we can be reminded that when you look at us, you see children, sons, daughters. That God, we don't have to just somehow see ourselves as created beings, but God, when we come to you, when we surrender our lives to you, you see us as sons and daughters. So Lord, I pray that as we continue to worship through the giving of tithes and offerings, as we continue to worship, as we break open the word of God, as we continue to worship through the breaking of bread and the receiving of the Lord's Supper, God, would you remind us of who we are in you? We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. As you have a seat, turn to somebody near you and say, I am a child of God. Declare it this morning. Well, as I mentioned in prayer, we are going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, not as just simply a habit or something that we just do every week, but as an act of worship. So I invite the ushers to come forward and receive this morning's tithes and offerings. If you're a guest with us today, we want you to feel no obligation to give during this time. But if you're a regular part of the New Life family, we just encourage you to worship through this moment. If you are a guest with us, we want to make you aware of something that we believe really strongly in here at New Life, and that is the practice of attending three times. There's something important about going back again and again and again. And as you do that, we want you to pay attention to a couple of things. The first thing is this, that you would look for somebody else to connect with, that you would get to know someone here at New Life. See, church isn't just a place to attend, but it's a family to belong to. And we believe in this. And so whether you've been attending here for maybe a couple of months, or this is your very first time, we encourage you to take the risk to get to know somebody. Now, if you're an extrovert, that comes easy. That means you're probably going to talk to somebody around you, maybe even during the message or any number of things. You have that ability to do that. But we try to make it as easy as possible for our introverts as well. This, what we have here is called Connection Central. And at Connection Central, you can have the shortest conversation possible. You pick up a gift, you say hi, you write out a little card if you want to, and it's just a great opportunity for you to have the potential to connect with somebody for just a short amount of time. And then the second thing that we want to encourage you to do is simply that you would look for where God is on the move. And this really has kind of two aspects to it. First is this, what is God speaking to you? How is the Holy Spirit beginning to stir something in you? Is it maybe to get more curious about who God is? Is it maybe you find yourself wandering like the prodigal and he's saying, hey, come home. And you're like, no, I don't think you can handle all the stuff I've been through. He's telling you this morning he can handle it. And he wants you to come home. Or maybe you're somebody here and you have just kind of moved to the Central Coast and you're like, hey, I want to be a part of a movement of God. Here's what we would encourage you to do. Whether it's here or one of the other great churches on the Central Coast, look for where God is on the move and be a part of where he is guiding and directing you. Amen. Well, over the last several months, we've been a part of what's called the Flourish Campaign, and it's simply just an opportunity for us to do a couple of things. The very first thing that the Flourish Campaign is doing is that it is helping us to get our arms around the delayed maintenance. As you know, going through 2020 and beyond was a challenging season in the life of the church, and so we've got some delayed maintenance to not only catch up on during that particular season, but over the last probably the last decade, to be quite honest. And our building is aging, and we want to be good stewards. And so one of the things that we are looking at during Flourish is that we want to leave a legacy of stewardship, not just of our finances, but also of our facilities, because we believe that facilities and environments are places where people gather together. And when people gather together, God does his life transformation and formation in their lives. And so we want to make sure that we are stewarding well our facilities. I'll circle back to that. It's something that's going to be happening in this next month in a moment. The second thing we want to do is we want to create ministry opportunities. And so we see where God is currently moving in the various aspects of the life of the church. And we want to put resources towards where he is moving. We don't want to try to develop something on our own, but we want to encourage ourselves to say, hey, where's God moving and how can we be a part of it? And then third, all the resources that we raise during the Flourish campaign, of all the resources, 10% is going to go back into ministries that we want to help flourish that are not necessarily a part of New Life, but we have partnered with in our community and around the world. And so we're super excited at what God is already stirring up and the partnerships that he's beginning to foster through this Flourish campaign. And so circling back to the delayed maintenance, we wanted you to be aware of a couple of things you're going to be seeing around campus. One of the things that you may not necessarily see, but hopefully you will feel, is that our HVAC system is the original system, and we are going to be replacing that HVAC system so that we can make sure that as we go into the winter months, that we will have good heat in here, as well as on those hot days. We always get those triple digits in October, that we will actually have air conditioning in here during those days as well. And so we're going to be replacing those units. We were able to get three bids for that, and we were able to have that work done. That's actually going to begin this week. How awesome is that? So we're going to get all that taken care of in the coming weeks. The second thing that you're going to be seeing towards the middle of the month is you're going to see a lot of people or a crew of people on the sanctuary roof. And they're going to be replacing the sanctuary roof. And that's the second thing that we're going to be doing for the delayed maintenance portion. Now, you might be asking yourselves, why is this so important? Because if we don't steward well the facility resources in our generation, we will handcuff the next generation from being able to do the ministry that God calls them to do, because they will be spending so much money trying to do just keep the facilities up to date and in proper working order. And so we're excited about how God is bringing all of this together. We're going to have some more updates over the next month, and just encourage you to kind of keep your ears open for some opportunities to learn even more about what's going on in the Flourish campaign. Well, this morning, I've already heard Pastor Gina preach once. I'm ready for round two. And I know that the Spirit is going to use what God has laid on her heart in order to help form us and shape us further into his image. So would you welcome Pastor Gina to the platform this morning?
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to see all of you. And I know there's probably people out on the patio, since it's nice out there. We welcome you guys. It's good to be here this morning. I have really enjoyed the summer series that we have been in. So if you've been with us throughout the summer, you'll know that at the beginning, Pastor David introduced to us Romans chapter 8. And we've actually spent the entire summer in one book and in one chapter. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to continue that, but we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. Now, one of the things I noticed from the other pastors that I also want to do here this morning is that they mentioned that, one, you can pull out your Bible. We encourage you to bring your Bible here at church. Like, we want you to bring it. But if you don't own a Bible and you would like a Bible, we have them for you. We can just go out these back doors here. You can ask someone for a Bible, keep it. And I would just like to really encourage you. We have nothing against iPhones or phones that have the Bible app on it. But there is something to be said about a physical Bible. Something that you can highlight, write in, make marks in, something that helps you actually engage with it. Because I know for me, at least, when I'm on my phone or on my iPad, looking at scripture, reading scripture, I have a tendency to not highlight things or not mark anywhere in there to remind me to bring it back to it. Or when I read that passage again, sometimes you go back and you're like, why did I write that next to that? You want to know what it was that God spoke to you then. So here at New Life Church, we just really want to encourage you to be people of the Word of God. We want people to dive in. We want people to read it, engage with it, because that's how we grow. We grow with our experiences with God, with reading the Word, with worship like we did this morning. But I just want to add that. I thought that was a great thing that had been said at all this series, and that is, bring your Bible. Let's be people of the Word of God. And so this morning, we're going to be in verses 31 to 34. But before we start, I kind of want us to take a moment, just to take a deep breath in and just breathe it out. And I want us to think for a moment, why are you here? What is it that you're looking to get out of this morning, out of God's Word? Why did you choose to get out of your bed, come here, and be a part of this morning? And I think this is really, really important, because how we look at scripture, the attitude we come with, the experiences that we have, it causes us to engage with scripture in a certain way. The other thing is I think we sometimes can get, and I'm just as guilty of this, sometimes come to church because it's just the thing to do, and it leads to lunch, so we go, right? But we want you to be people who want to come and hear the Word of God and engage with Scripture, because you are seeking to be more and more like Jesus. Because you are desiring to know Him, to be developed, to be conforming to His will in your life. Because I know that we can come to church, hear it, and walk away and not even remember it at times. We couldn't tell you what the passage was. We might be able to tell you a funny story that was said, but we're not trying to be funny all the time. I mean, I'm trying to be funny sometimes, but like, you're trying to really hook into the scriptures. in James chapter 1, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to reference this because it talks a little bit about the importance of us engaging with Scripture. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Which is kind of hard to imagine that we can look in a mirror and not remember what we look like. I honestly don't think it's hard to imagine that we can engage with Scripture and then not think about it at all. Because we are people of distraction. We are people who are busy. We are people who are constantly got something else going on in this world that we can check this off, come to church or read our Bible studies, and then never remember it. And so this morning, I don't want that for us. I don't want that for us ever. The word of God should change us. We should increase in our desire to be more like him and less like we used to always be. Less of the world and more like him. We want to be able to own the words that I am who you say I am. We are who he calls us to be. And so this morning as we dive in, may there be nothing that gets in the way. And if you can, and if you're able, will you stand with me as we read these verses? Again, we're in Romans chapter 8. We're in verses 31 to 34. And they read like this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this series and this opportunity to not just read Scripture, Lord, but to actually dive into it, to tear it apart, to read it in chunks, and to actually know who you are. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your son. Thank you for not giving up on us. And that you so desired to be in relationship with us, Lord, that we are here today able and wanting to give you praise and glory. We thank you for today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that anything that we came in here with today, no matter what was going on 5 minutes before we got here, no matter the struggles, the illnesses, whatever consumes our thoughts, Lord, I pray that it would be pushed away and that only your spirit will be moving and only your word will be hearing so we become more and more like you. We pray all this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Paul starts off, verse 31, he's writing to the church in Rome. And he writes this, he's written up to this point 30 verses, and he writes, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? He wants us to think. He's asking this question, what do you think about everything that we have read and seen and you've heard up to this point? He's asking a question because he wants us to pause. He wants us to actually take in what he's saying and ask ourselves, how is this affecting me? Who is this God? What do you think about the things that I've told you? And this is important because what we think is how we are going to react. And so he says, what do you think about these wonderful things? Well, I think to myself, well, when I first read this passage, I didn't think much, actually. It's cool. I've read it before. But like I said in last service, the first time I got this passage, these verses, Pastor David sent them to me and I knew what I was having. I was in my office that day. And they came through on my phone and I opened it up and I had already been in a couple sessions with a couple couples that day. And so I really quickly in between sessions was like, I'm going to look it up and see what it is. And here is this passage that we just read, a bunch of questions that Paul answers. And I read the question, and I read the answer, and I read the question, and I read the answer, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. The answer is right there. Like, he's asking, and he's answering. But the attitude I had when I read those questions and when I first read this was tainted by my experience earlier that day. The lens I was looking through probably had a lot to do with the couples that I was counseling that day. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, there are certain people in the world who, when they ask a question, they also answer the question. So like in couples therapy sometimes, most of the time, people will sit on a couch or they'll sit across from each other, but they mostly talk to me. I'll ask a question, even though I'm asking it about them, they will respond mostly just back to me. And so sometimes I have to coach them and say, hey, why don't you turn to the person next to you, your spouse or whoever, and ask them what they think. And they do. And sometimes this happens like this. What do you think? I'll tell you what you think. I'll tell you right now what you're thinking. And it's like, they didn't answer. Wait, what's happening? You know, like, they are the people who are like, I will ask you, but I will also tell you. So maybe some of you are those people, all right? But, so when I first read it, it seemed like a passage that was giving a bunch of questions and giving the answers and not much to make a message out of. But I know that not to be true. But in the moment, that's how I looked at it. And I think Paul, when he asks this question, what shall we say about these wonderful things? He wants us to pause, take it in, and not just flippantly make an answer, but actually take it in. What have we been hearing through this series? What do you think? What is it causing you to do? Well, I guess the first thing we should clarify is, what have we been hearing? Because I know not everyone is always here throughout the summer. We sometimes miss. Maybe some people are new. Well, in Romans 8, this is probably the biggest part of what you hear. That God loves us so much, it is hard to comprehend sometimes. His love for his creation, for his people, is so vast. I don't know that we actually fully understand how much he loves us. Think about it for a moment. God did not give up on us. He wrote in this chapter alone, he wrote that even as people were sinning, he gave us his son, Jesus. He could have just washed his hands of us. But instead what he did is he decides to give us his one and only son as a sacrifice for everyone. Because he loves us so much, he wants to be in relationship with us. The love that he has, the patience, the grace, because not only did he give Jesus and that he died and rose again and is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the Father, he gave us his Holy Spirit so we could have new life. New life. Not just our old lives and we're like, yay, Jesus, we are new people, transforming into the image of God. Sometimes I wonder if we believe that. Sometimes when I look out into the audience, I get a little caught off guard sometimes. Because sometimes the look on your faces is like, I don't know. Do we wholeheartedly know that we are loved by the Father, the one true God? Is that good news? We are transforming new people when we call him Lord. He loved us that much. This is the wonderful things that he wants us to say. What do you think? Because what you think is how you are going to react. We're either going to push more towards him, or we're going to pull away, or we're going to do nothing. But we don't want to be those people. We want to be people who are chasing God, his will and his purposes. He goes on in verse 32, or in 31, and he says, if God is for us, who can be ever be against us? If God is for us, I know it says if, but don't mistake that as, you know, like wobbly or wavering. Paul's not wavering. Paul is stating an absolute fact. God is for us. 100%. And how can he say that? How does he so boldly say that God is for us? Because in Romans 5:8, he wrote this: "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." He gave us the final and only sacrifice we need to be in relationship with him. When you read that word, "God is for us," that sentence, that word "for" in the Greek actually means "on behalf of." So God, on behalf of us, gave us Jesus, gave us a Savior. God is for us. And I know sometimes we don't believe that. I hear a lot in my office especially, believers and non-believers saying to me that they don't know if God sees them. People who are like, "I don't think God cares what's happening to me. I don't think God really thinks I'm that valuable. I think God, you know, I don't know. Maybe I didn't accept him because I'm not getting what I want. Because I don't feel better." And I just want to let you know, don't believe the lie. God is for us. God is for those who call Jesus Lord. If you're here today and you don't know him, or you're listening to this and you didn't realize that Jesus died for you and that there is a Holy Spirit that will come and enter your life immediately when you accept him and call him Lord, then I want to let you know right here, right now is the best time ever to accept Jesus as Lord. The best time. There is no other time like right now, because he is for you. He sees all of us. He sees the person that you love and you wish knew him. He sees the person that you actually just really don't like. He loves that person. He loves everyone. And he is for those who call him Lord. But then he goes on and says, "Who can ever be against us?" Doesn't it feel like everyone's against us sometimes? Doesn't it feel like everything just seems heavy and full of pressure? And like we're not getting it fast enough and we're not making it fast enough. I went to young adults last week and was able to teach there. And you can just tell that age group, I think they feel so much pressure to achieve, be successful, meet the next marker. It's a lot of pressure. The world is like, "You are behind and we just need to do better." And it's like, for what? For what? It can feel like no one, or that everyone is against us. It can feel like things can come against us because there are things like cancer in the world. Because there are broken families. Because there's struggle. But God never told us that if we follow him, that we would be struggle free. He just said he would be on the struggle bus with us. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? It doesn't actually matter, the struggle. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world, because there is nothing greater than the power of the Most High God. Nothing can be against us, because he is greater than death. He is greater than cancer. He is greater than anything that we walked in these doors with today. Anything. There is nothing that will defeat God, and there is nothing that will stop his love for us. Nothing. And so he says, basically, who can be against us? It doesn't matter, because he's the greatest. And then he goes on and he says in verse 32, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" Everything else. Now Paul here is referencing, remember, he's talking to a people who probably know the story of Abraham, who was asked to take his son Isaac and make him a sacrifice, which he was going to do. That's in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. I think it's in 22. You can read the story. He literally is going to offer him up, but then God doesn't make him do it. But here we are, God offering his own son, his one and only son. He gave him up for us all. And so he says, if he will do that, he gave him up for us all, If he will do that, what won't he give us? He will give us everything that we need to be the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. That doesn't mean we get everything we want. That doesn't mean that our little desire for a little more money or a little more this or a little more that doesn't mean that he's going to give us all that. He's not a piggy bank or anything. But he will give us anything and everything we need to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. In Matthew 6:33, it says this: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The key to that verse is seek the kingdom of God above all else. We're not looking to seek a little of the world and then add a little God. We are seeking to seek the kingdom of God only, to seek what he wants for our lives, to have the Holy Spirit guide us and not us live our lives according to our flesh and our sin and our desires. We want to fulfill the will of God. And the only way to do that, and the only way to know that he is answering us and that we see him and look for him, is we have to know him. We have to look for the things of his kingdom. We have to live according to the things he has taught us. Back to James 1, we can't just hear it, let it bounce off and go our own way. We are here to absorb it, to become it, to walk it out, to react in a way in which it draws us, shapes us, and allows us to act the people he's created us to be. So he goes on in verse 33. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. I don't know if we always remember, but we have been justified through Christ. What does that mean? We are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. But that's not all. God gives us the Holy Spirit. It meets our spirit, and we become a people who no longer live by anxiety and depression, who no longer live by the ups and downs on the roller coaster ride that the world gives us. We can stand unashamed, unafraid, on a solid foundation built on Jesus and know who we are in God. Our identities are solid. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Anxiety's not bad. Don't get me wrong. Depression's going to happen depending on situations. But we are becoming a people who are riddled with anxiety, worrying about everything we see. And you know what? And we do it to ourselves. We open up our phones and read every little crazy thing there is. We listen to everybody's crazy story. We make so many avenues. We expose ourselves to all of this stuff. And then we walk around biting our nails and being so anxious because we spend more time doing that a lot of times than we do in the Word of God. Because sometimes some of us wake up and that is the first thing we are putting our eyes on. Some of us wake up and the first thing we put our eyes on is the Word of God. But then the next thing we do is get on social media. Instead of pausing and sitting, walking through our doors and through our house, declaring the truth that we just read in the scriptures, saying, Holy Spirit, make me more like you. Do we know and do we understand that we are seen in right standing? Which what that means is God sees you as blameless, sinless. When I was in college, I think there was this song, something about white as snow. We're seen as white as, I couldn't stand the song. Something about white as snow. But I just know that that's what they were talking about. And it was like, we are seen as his children. Sinless. Blameless. Guys, we beat ourselves up with our mistakes and he's not even doing that to us. We're so critical in our own minds and hearts of our own personhood, which causes us to be critical of everyone around us. And sometimes I think we need to stop and say, what is the truth of what God says about me? That he sent Jesus to die for my sin, but then he rose again and defeated death. Because I have the Holy Spirit, I live a new life. If you're here and you proclaim Jesus as Lord, you should have a testimony. You should be able to testify as to what has changed in your life from knowing Jesus Christ. The longer we walk with him, the more we should be able to testify to the good news, not to the ways of old, not to who we were before. It's fine to be able to give some information about who you were before. But man, most of our testimonies for the Lord, we need to be more about what he is doing, that transforming life today. People hear about all of our dirt and weirdnesses and sins. They're doing it. Everyone's sharing their weirdness. Great. But we need to start sharing what God is doing. We need to start sharing the word of God. We need to start showing, loving, being the people who know that they are loved so greatly that God did whatever he could do, which was through Jesus, to be in relationship with us. And we're not where it stops. He wants the entire world to call him Lord. We are in right standing with him. We are called to be his people, to respond to his word, to have our identities firmly placed in his love and in his hope and in his truth. Do we walk like a people who have been forgiven? Do we walk like a people that knows that their father loves them so unconditionally that he's excited to see you every moment of every day? Do we walk in the joy of the Lord? If we're not, we can. If we're not, we have to start working on the things that are getting in the way, because there is joy in the Lord. This is good news. This is good news. In verse 34, which is my favorite part of these four verses, Paul writes this: who will then condemn us? If you've been here in this series, the very first verse of Romans 8 is, so there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The very first verse of this book, of this chapter. So we know already that the answer is no one. Who will condemn us? No one. For Jesus died for us. But church, that is not it. He died for us, yes, but he didn't just die. He raised to life. He was raised again. He is alive. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and allows him to sit at the right hand of the Father is the same spirit that lives in those who call him Lord. If that spirit can defeat death and raise Jesus, then that spirit can defeat your anxiety, your depression. It can repair relationships. It can transform your life to someone that you didn't know you could be. And I will testify to that right now. I am someone I never knew I could be. I was not even someone that I thought I could like. We all can get to a place by accepting Jesus and putting our lives and surrendering all of who we are, all of the junk, everything, and be transformed by his spirit, by his word, by his truth. And just think about verse 34. He not only sits at the right hand of the Father, but he's pleading for us. This is where we've heard Pastor David before say that heaven and earth are supposed to be working together, and they are. The Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus is alive and well in this moment, right here, right now, pleading for us. We are working together. We want his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what we are striving to do. That is who we are striving to be, is a people set apart. People who live in this world, but we don't become of it. People in this world who love others in a way that they have never experienced before, and in a way that we only can do because he first loved us. I was talking to someone after last service, and they made, and it stuck in my head since she said it. She said he just has this burning desire and just feels the pressure of the Lord that the church needs to turn back to their first love. Yeah. And then she followed it with, I need to turn back to my first love. We do. He is the only one who saves. He is the only one who heals. He is the only one who will lead the way in which we can spread the kingdom of God in this world. Can you imagine the entire five cities, Nipomo, this whole area, coming to church and worshiping the Lord on a Sunday? I would love it if we all had to just gather in football fields because these buildings are too small. Like, let's just, that's what we want. He's calling us. He's here today. He's in our lives every moment of every day. And because of Jesus, our lives can be transformed. Your life can be transformed. Now, one of the things we've been doing in this series to help close it out, but to bring remembrance, to remember what Jesus has done for us, is we've taken communion together every week throughout the summer. And so I'm going to invite the band back up. But I want you to, and the people who are going to serve to come forward, but I want you to think about something. Here we are talking that Jesus died. He poured out his blood to literally cover all of our sins. We are forgiven. We have hope. And my prayer is that we are taking the word of God each and every day and allowing it to transform our hearts, to change who we probably always known we were, and be surprised about who we can be. So this morning, as we take communion, I'm going to ask that you take it. We have an open table here at New Life. If you profess Jesus as Lord, please partake. And then go ahead and take it back to your seat and we'll take it together. But spend some time giving thanks, surrendering whatever it is you need to surrender as we do this in remembrance of him.
Oh,
So on the night that he was betrayed, he picked up some bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." Break the bread and take it. He then picked up the wine and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Drink in remembrance of me." As you go, my prayer is that this morning you realize that the Word of God is not something to just be heard, but is active. That it has power to transform you. And so my challenge to all of us, myself included, is that we take this opportunity to react to what we heard today, to ask ourselves what our next steps are going to be. What do we think about these wonderful things? My prayer is that we desire him more and more, that we become the sons and the daughters of the Most High God that he has called us to. So may you go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.